Let's do this again. Good morning, Crossroads. Morning. That's better. You know, it's been a bit of a tough week, hasn't it? First of all, the snow and the cold, and then all of a sudden this big switch over to something happened. Oh, there it goes. Okay. We're back. But nonetheless, it has been a good week. Filled with tears, yes, as our dear friend Casey went home to be with
his precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. And thank you, John, for all your work, brother. So appreciate it. If I can get that first slide up there. If you arrive at First Baptist Church of Newport and you won't have any confusion about where you're supposed to leave your ride. That's because Rick is doing an impressive job running the parking lot ministry to which he was assigned when the leadership team ascertained that he didn't possess any actual spiritual gifts. Newport places significant emphasis on getting its small body of believers to find a place where they can be the Lord's hands and feet. Oswald, who has been attending most Sunday services for the past year or so, couldn't find out where the Lord wanted him to serve. So at the prompting of the church's associate pastor, he took an online spiritual gift test consisting of 250 questions. Anybody taken one of those before? Big, long one. That claimed to gauge his passions, abilities, and unique God-given blend of supernatural gifts with which he could serve the body of Christ. When Oswald's test came back negative for, well, anything, he was assigned to the parking lot ministry, an office created just for him, where he efficiently guides as many as 30 cars and to appropriate parking spots. While other church members are busy performing spiritual work like teaching, exhortation, prayer, and potluck planning, Oswald is waving cars into vacant spots until the Lord gives him more meaningful work to do. Oswald. Clearly, we're having a little bit of fun, but we're also highlighting this reality that each one of us has gifts. God has given each one of us gifts, often more than one. And if we are not developing in our awareness of what those gifts are, and not only knowing what they are, but practicing them, we are moving away from joy ourselves, and we're also keeping joy from the broader church community. And that's why right now we're investing time as a church and moving through 20 or so spiritual gifts. Gifts that we receive when we come to faith in Christ. And each and every one of us has them. Each and every one of us needs to use them. So let's talk just a little bit about expectations. Let's acknowledge that each one of us have expectations. If we have expectations that are too high, then we become perfectionistic. If we have expectations that are too low, perhaps we become lazy. Take, for example, my marriage with Jody. My expectations for cleanliness are somewhere in this area here. Around the house, her expectations for cleanliness are a little bit over the top, like way up here. And so, with that said, we're on different pages. We have different expectations of each other, different expectations, the way that we go things. And if Jody held me to her standard, it would leave her desperately frustrated. If I held her to my standard, it would leave me desperately frustrated. So what we have to do then, and this is something that I confess we're still working out, what we have to do then is understand where each person is coming from, understand what each person's gifting is, and then make space and grace to move forward together. Now, similar in the world of spiritual gifts, we all have different spiritual gifts. We all have different expectations around our spiritual gifting. What our desire is in this series is to develop a common script so that we understand, first of all, what spiritual gifting is, what spiritual gifts are, what they look like, what they are in practice. And then we have, from that place, a common script where we can begin implementing, starting to work in the gifts, starting to put them into play. All of that it then helps us to understand our expectations of one another, God's expectations of us, and then live in a place of grace where we can practice, where we can exercise, where we can work together, where we can build God's church. Now, our Advent series was on joy. It was about what is joy. It was about how do we get joy, how do we keep joy, how do we give joy. And that was a good series. I heard a lot of feedback. People were encouraged. People moved into a new place of joy. I know I experienced a new place of joy in that series. What I want to say to you is if you want to keep growing in that joy, you need to be practicing the spiritual gifts that God has given you. And God gives us spiritual gifts, all of us spiritual gifts, so that we can serve in the church. Now, right now, we are on word gifts. Last week, we talked about teaching, exhortation, apostleship. This week, we're going to talk about pastoring, leadership, and evangelism. Now, shepherding and pastoring. If you don't have shepherding and pastoring in your church is not going to function well. If we don't have pastoring in our church at Crossroads, we are not going to function well. And our model for shepherding is Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd. Now, the Greek word for shepherding is poimen. Ready? On three. One, two, three. Poimen. Your Greek vocabulary is growing every week. Well done, Crossroads. Shepherd, overseer, to exercise concern and care while encouraging people towards Christ. And there's an example, right, of a shepherd who's got a sick lamb and is caring for that lamb. That's what a shepherd does. Ephesians 4, verse 11 says this, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." So these are leadership gifts that Paul is talking to the church of Ephesus about. And the first is apostles, second is prophets, then evangelists, then the pastors and teachers. Now, this spiritual gift of pastoring, of shepherding, is one that carries many different responsibilities. And it's connected to and related to gifts of leadership, but it's also different than the gift of leadership. And so we're going to touch on leadership second. Right now, we're just talking about shepherding. In a biblical context, shepherds had several different responsibilities for their sheep, and ultimately to the owner of the sheep. And so if we look at that right now, a shepherd, a pastor, has responsibilities towards you, the sheep, but ultimately to God, the owner of the sheep. They kept a lookout for predators. They protect sheep from attacks. They cared for wounded and sick sheep, nursing them back to health. They rescued them if they became lost or trapped. They spent enormous amounts of time with them, guiding them to be places of nourishment and rest. The result was a trust and relationship that the sheep followed the shepherd. The sheep were attuned to the shepherd's voice to the point that even if they were temporarily mixed with another herd, at the call of the shepherd, they would separate and follow their shepherd. Now, before we get too far into this spiritual gift of pastoring or shepherding, I don't want you to say, well, you, Joel, are the shepherd and pastor, and we're the sheep, so we don't have to really pay attention. You've got this all under control, because that's not the case. And in fact, it's really important that we recognize that within the church, within this room, within our church, there are a number of us who are shepherds, who have a gift of pastoring. You may not carry the title at this moment, but you have the spiritual gifting. And so I want everybody, again, for the sake of common script and for the sake of recognizing that you may have this gift and aren't actually practicing it and need to, I want you to pay attention. Hang in there. The pastoral gift is the capacity to exercise concern and care for the group so as to encourage them in their growth in Christ, which includes modeling for them maturity, protecting them from error, and disseminating truth. This is a special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to assume long-term personal responsibility for the spiritual welfare of a group of believers. Now, here's the thing. Shepherding, just like leadership and evangelism, is person-centered. It's all around working with, working alongside, leading people. And so if you don't like people, there's a chance that you don't have the gift of shepherding. Now, I want you to listen to this. If you have these traits, here's what shepherding actually looks like. If you have these traits, you have a deep desire to see people in your care become healthy and well. When you hear about someone in trouble or hurting, your heart goes out to them and you want to help them. You're concerned about what people are consuming in their life. Not just food, but it could be media, it could be any number of different things. People around you are drawn to you because you blend teaching and care in a way that impacts their lives. You continually pray and think and engage in a people group with a heart to seeing them become more like Jesus. Now, if that describes you, I want you to hold on to that. And I want you to pray about where God is calling you in this next season of your life into shepherding. Now, here's something that that we need to engage more deeply in at Crossroads. And that's vulnerable, authentic community. We are at a size, if you look around in this room, where it is virtually impossible for this number of people to maintain intimate relationship, to maintain accountability, to maintain a walk together. And this is where the role of life groups, as we call them, comes into play. Now, if you have a gift of pastoring, shepherding, that is your place. And it is such an essential and important place. And we've talked, and Dan's spoken before, Dan is our life group lead, about the essential nature of our life groups. And what I really want to challenge you is if you're waking up right now and you're going, I have this gift, God's given me this gift of shepherding, of pastoring, I really want you to consider God's place for you in this season in caring for a group. You might be sitting there, if you're an introvert, and saying, I don't like groups, I don't like people. Not only do I not have the gift of shepherding, I just don't even want anybody to know me. I understand, because I've been there before. And I've had someone close to me call me on it, that's actually not how God has created us. God hasn't created us to function on our own. He hasn't created us to go out and be lone rangers. He's created us to function in community, to function with each other, to function with accountability. Now, one of the things that I'm really excited about is you've heard us talk about Freedom Session. There are a group of about 30, 35 of us going through Freedom Session right now. And the level that we're moving to within those small groups is setting an amazing framework, I believe, for launching and moving out into our church. And so if you didn't make it into this session of Freedom Session, that's all right. We're going to do it again next year. But I'm really excited, church. And I want you to hear this. I'm really excited about where we are going, where we're tracking, where God has us in line. Because it's not only going to move and shape our church, it's going to equip us to move out. And that's shepherding, okay? Pastoring. Now, again, at the end of today, we've got these pages here, that these little cards that we want you to fill out. Thanks, brother. We want you to fill those out because we want to know what your gifts are. We want to make space for you to be practicing in your gifts. All right, let's talk about leadership. Romans 12, verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. Here's verse 8. This is where leadership is. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. The spiritual gift of leadership. Proestemi. You like that? That sounds a little Italian, but we're going to go with it. Proestemi. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. All right. Here we go. To lead, to cast vision, to give direction, to show the way. Now, I use this picture here with sheep again, and it's a little bit different than the other one. The other one had a shepherd that was in a pasture that was carrying a sick sheep, and there was maybe 15 or 20 sheep. The spiritual gift of leadership is different than the spiritual gift of pastoring. Okay, the spiritual gift of leadership is set around casting vision. It's set around leading direction. It's set around showing the way and moving. It's closely related, or can be closely related, to the gift of administration. Interestingly, the spiritual gift of pastoring and shepherding is one where it's not about implementation necessarily, but it's all about visioning. And this spiritual gift is central in every church that is growing, in every church that is moving ahead, in every church that is stepping forward. The spiritual gift of leadership is to exercise influence over a group. It is to lead it towards a vision or a goal. It is about enabling the body of Christ to accomplish God's purposes for that specific group. And a person who is operating with this gift demonstrates the capacity to exercise influence over that group. Leadership in the church is about vision. It's conceptual. It's about the where and the what. It's about the promised land. It's about the ark. It's about the temple. It's sent from heaven, this idea of the what and the where. And you're not always told the how, and that's where some of the other gifts come into play, the implementation, the administration, and whatnot. Those with this gift of leadership have to be rooted, deeply rooted in a personal relationship with God. They have to hear clearly from God so that they can lead the group that they have been charged with. Without this connection to God, without hearing from God, without being tapped into God, the gift doesn't function well. The gift doesn't work. It becomes more like a natural gift, which you can train and develop and incorporate, but it's not the spiritual gift. Many people that have the gift of leadership also have the title of pastor, but they may not necessarily have the gift of pastoring or shepherding. And we mentioned just a little bit about expectations at the top. Expectations put on a leader to pastor will leave the church frustrated. They will leave the leader frustrated. And so it's really important that you understand who the leader is and what their gifting is and how they're moving forward. Many leaders dislike administration, so they make sure they've delegated that responsibility to someone else with a different gift mix. Lyle Schuyler likens skillful pastors of growing churches to ranchers rather than shepherds. Ranchers make sure that all the different flocks and herds get the attention they need, and they always get other people to do it. But God, of course, loves and calls both ranchers and shepherds. Now, a leader in a pastoral role, his his job description is going to be something along the lines of delegate, preach, and vision. If you have the spiritual gift of leadership, this is what it looks like. You have an ability to gain vision or direction from God for a group or for a ministry. You have an ability to influence others towards that vision. In some cases, those with leadership, not all the time, have the ability to organize or build structures so it happens effectively. Those who don't, bring those around who can help. In whatever circumstance you're in, people look to you for leadership. When you move in a direction, people follow you and want to be a part of where you're going. And people with gift of leadership will often operate in conjunction with other gifts. Word or power gifts. It could be shepherding. It could be the teaching. Is this you? Now, it's interesting because part of my spiritual gift mix is a blend of shepherding and leadership. And I want to share just a little bit of my own experience in learning about that, and even how this last week as I was studying helped me to process and understand my previous movement from one church to another. I worked formerly at a church that was a little bit larger than this. There were a number of pastors on staff, and I initially started at the church as a youth pastor. And I did the youth pastor thing for about a year and a half, 2 years, and then there was shifting and movement within the church, and I shifted from youth pastor to life groups pastor. And I worked with life groups for a few years and then shifted from life groups to congregational care pastor. And in congregational care, I mean, that is a full-on shepherding pastoral role where you're in the trenches, where you're walking with people who are hurting, where you're counseling, where you're doing all those things. Now, in those last couple of years, there were a number of things going on at the church. And I began to feel this rising inside of me, like I have ideas that can contribute to what's happening in the bigger picture of the church. But a bigger church with a larger staff, you're very specialized. Right? So your role, Joel, is congregational care, and that's where you need to be and stay, and that's what you need to do. Right? And so these ideas kept welling up, and I could see things. I could see, well, if we do this, this will happen. And there was an unrest that came within me, maybe even a holy unrest. And situations or circumstances shifted as such that I gave my notice and stepped out of that position. Now, my relationship with that church is still good. I was just interacting with the pastor from that church, the pastor of administration, actually, because I need his help. But stepped out from there and began to look and explore for another ministry option. And arrived here, and my first phone call or my first interview was with Mike. Is Mike here? Mike Metcalf? There he is. Mike and our dear friend Casey, who's just passed this week. And he's a shepherd to me. Excuse me. And my dear friend Casey. And it was a great conversation. Right? And you know what's beautiful is we can celebrate Casey. Right? So beautiful that we have hope. So beautiful that she is with God. Thank you, Lord. Good. It's good. In that conversation, we talked through a number of things. Right, we talked about where the church had been at. We talked about my gifting set, and I had at that point just was partway through my Master of Arts in Leadership. And it seemed like my skill set, both of shepherding and of leading, was one that was necessary here. And up until this last week, why am I telling you this? I'm telling you that you can have two gifts that function side by side. I'm telling you this, that a shepherd and shepherd only will be so concerned and focused on taking care of the sheep and maybe teaching, but won't have his eyes on where you're going next. Whereas a leader is going to have his eyes on where you're going next, right? The leader's at the front and is moving those sheep that way. And he's saying, hey, come on, let's go. And it wasn't until really studying this week and going, oh, that's a little bit of a broader picture, a deeper picture of what was happening at that time in our life. And there were a lot of other things going on. But understanding your spiritual gifts, understanding how God has equipped you and where you're called is so essential for you in your life. And again, and I'm going to keep saying this because we need to keep hearing this. Not only is it understanding, but it is putting into practice the spiritual gifts that God has given you. All right. So we've talked about shepherding. We've talked about leadership. Let's talk about evangelism. The spiritual gift of evangelism. Euangelistes. Ready? Euangelistes. One. Should I say it again?
Yes.
Euangelistes. Here we go. One, two, three. Euangelistes. That's a good one. That's a three-syllable Greek word right there. Write it down. Take notes. There's going to be a quiz at the end of this. It's the teacher in me. Spiritual gift of evangelism. One who brings good news. To be able to communicate effectively God's message. Now, when you think of an evangelist, what comes to mind? Anybody? What comes to mind? Billy Graham. Thank you, Lord, for Billy Graham. I am so glad that that was the first thing that came out. What else comes to mind? Being bold? All good context, which is awesome. Because the first thing that came to my mind when I thought evangelist was the tele-evangelist that's all fake and that's all wrong and that carries a wrong message. And that's not the message of evangelism. And that's why I didn't put somebody speaking out to a lot of people. I put somebody talking to another person and communicating the hope that we have in Jesus. All Christians are called to evangelize and to reach out to the lost with the gospel. That was Jesus' parting words to us. Go make disciples. But some are given an extra measure of faith and effectiveness in this area. And I believe, do we have the scripture up there, John? Beautiful. Ephesians 4, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, again, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, right? Remember, apostles are the ones that get at work going. Prophets are the ones that speak and show God's presence and his power and his message. Evangelists are the ones that go out and bring others back to Jesus. This gift is so needed. It is so powerful, and I believe it's also so misunderstood. If you ever spend time with an evangelist, it sounds something along the lines of you're talking about what's happening in your life, and they steer the conversation, not even intentionally, right back towards Jesus. They steer it right back to who Jesus is, to what Jesus is doing, to his power for our lives. And it's something that happens all the time for somebody with that spiritual gift of evangelism. Now, all of us, again, are called to have a reason, to give a reason for our faith and to be able to articulate that reason and to talk to people and to make disciples. But what we're talking about with spiritual gifting is an extra measure, an extra portion. The gift of evangelism refers to the capacity to challenge people with various communicative methods, persuasion, to receive the gospel of salvation in Christ and to see them respond by taking initial steps in Christian discipleship. It's not about just telling people about Jesus. The spiritual gift of evangelism means that people hear it and make a decision for Christ. Now, we've heard this quote before from St. Francis of Assisi: preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words, right? And we love that statement. Why? Because it means we don't have to say anything. We can just go about our lives and do our lives, right? Now, that is a true statement for many of us, and an essential statement for many of us, and especially a first step statement for many of us while we're getting our lives on track. Preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words. Live and be Christ. But presence is not giving the good news. One is not saved by observing a quiet, godly life alone. People are saved in hearing of the good news. They're saved when it's preached. They're saved by seeing signs and wonders. They're saved by being drawn to God in dreams. The gospel has to be spoken out and received. Evangelism is the presence and proclamation that leads to the fulfillment of the promise. See, generosity does not put you in right relationship. Evangelism is the giving of one thing, the good news of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read a quote here that I believe was written by an evangelist, and it's beautiful. The word gospel comes from two Greek words, well and announcement. The gift of evangelism involves proclaiming the good news. What is the good news? It is the thrilling report of something that happened historically that brings joy right now. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, who is fully God and fully man, died for my sins personally on a cross 19 centuries ago, was buried, but on the third day rose from the dead. God the Father can now accept his Son's sacrifice as a full satisfaction for all the garbage I have done against him, against myself, and against others. If I reach out and trust in faith and receive Jesus as my personal Savior, I get declared righteous by God. Not through anything I do, but by the merits, the work, the ability, through the credit of Christ's shed blood. No longer exposed to the penalty of the law I broke, I get to become a child of God. I am forgiven. I am in good standing with the living God. Because of Jesus alone, I get adopted into his family. And as I begin to embrace this good news, then what begins to happen is the implications work themselves out in my life. I have great joy because everything I did in my past will not be used against me. He gives us the Spirit of God to live like Christ, and he gives us hope because death is not the end. That is good news. Wow. That's it. That's our story. I'll tell you later. An evangelist carries this message. Now, here's the thing around expectations. We have, at times, in the church, put this pressure that every single one of us needs to operate as though we have the spiritual gift of evangelism. And what that means is that we're putting yokes that don't fit. and we're putting expectations that aren't right. Again, is everybody expected to share the good news? Absolutely. But is everybody going to have the gift of evangelism? No. The Spirit of God gives the gifts to those He determines. It's up to God. And so if you've ever walked around carrying guilt, carrying sadness, carrying remorse because you don't have the same fruit as somebody else with the gift of evangelism, I want you to be released from that. I want you to be released from that. The gift of evangelism looks like this. Some of you have an easy ability to talk to strangers. You have an intense burden at the thought of people not being saved. You have the ability to insert spiritual truth into normal conversations all the time. You have a freedom and joy in talking about Christian things, which is natural and unforced. People pursue you to ask you questions about Jesus. People around you become Christians consistently. Your quiet times are always filled with prayer for those who are lost, names, families, regions. You have this strong, strong desire to see those around you come to Christ. Now, it's interesting, if you ever see somebody who doesn't have the gift try and use the gift, it can almost become offensive the way that they talk to people. It almost leaves a bad taste in the mouth because they don't have the gifting. Or maybe they have the gifting, but it's lain dormant and they've pushed it to the side and there's some sin going on that they're carrying that needs to be dealt with. That's possible. We're going to move into our ministry time right now. And in this ministry time, we're going to continue to do a few things. The first is if you identify and say, I have one of these gifts. I have the spiritual gift of pastoring or shepherding. I have spiritual gift of leadership. Or I have the spiritual gift of evangelism. We really want you to make your way down so that you can fill out one of these cards. And we want to pray with you. We want to pray that God is going to continue to build and develop that gift. Now, if you have a desire for one of these gifts, our elders will be up here, and we want to encourage you to go to our elders and tell them that my heart is to have this gift of shepherding. I think I've seen glimmers of it, or I've got this strong, pressing desire on me right now. And if that's the case, come forward and let our elders pray for you to give you that gift. Now, as we pray for it, we hold our hands open. We pray with longing, with expectation. We pray anticipating. We eagerly seek these gifts, but we also trust God. Okay? The third is if you are in a place of hurt or bitterness, maybe you have been a shepherd or pastor, maybe not in office, but in role in some community, and you've been hurt. Perhaps you've been discouraged in the gift of evangelism somewhere along the way, but you know you have that gift. If that's the case, we want you to come up so that we can pray for you, so that God can bring healing to you, so that he can break off anything that is not of him, so that you can function fully in those gifts. And if you have something else that you want prayer for, please make your way up as well. We'll have the communion here. Church, these gifts are so essential, each and every single one of them. We are so essential to another, each and every single one of us. And it's important that we recognize that when we withhold our gifting, or when we withhold our presence, that we're not only impacting and hurting ourselves, but we're impacting and hurting our community and impacting and hurting our witness in the world. Now, I say that, Again, I don't say things out of to motivate by guilt, because I don't work that way. I believe God does not work that way. I say it out of love, because I want you to have and experience the joy that comes from living a life fully devoted, serving God. In my life, any time I am not joyful, it is pretty easy to pinpoint and target that it's because I'm not being obedient to something God has asked me to be obedient in. And every time I reorient, God is faithful and he gives me the joy. And it's the same for all of us. And part of that is being honest with who God has created us to be, being honest with the gifts that God has given us to use, serving with those gifts. All right. If I can invite the prayer teams, the ministry teams up, and let me pray. Can I ask you to stand as I pray? Jesus, we stand as your church. We stand as your people, Lord. And we take just a few moments in silence and confess. We confess that we on our own do not have it together, that we need you, Lord. And so, church, just where you are right now in silence and in prayer, just confess whatever is going on in your life that needs to be brought before the Lord. And Holy Spirit, as you move in this place, we just ask that you would do your healing here. Lord, we know that these gifts that I've spoken about today are present in this church. There may be gifts that have lain dormant, Lord, or that are yet to be acted on or practiced. And I pray, Father, that you would stir to life that which is ready to be brought to life. We pray that you would move in this place, that you would equip us, Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come, that you would pour yourself on us, that you would prepare us for ministry. And so we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, church, we're going to move into ministry time, and you have freedom to make your way up for communion or to one of these places for prayer. And please, if you're registering that one of these gifts is yours, please fill out one of these cards. Go ahead and grab a seat if you want some time for reflection, but have a great week.